My dad kept asking me, "Rosie, are you okay? Are you okay?" Huh, I wondered, am I okay? What a crazy question. Of course I'm not okay. I haven't been okay in years. I haven't been okay for a decade. It dawned on me that I was in a hospital room, waking up from some sort of medication-induced sleep. My vision was blurry, my thoughts were desperate. I could barely move my arms and legs, and my words were slurry. I didn't try to talk for fear that I would stutter or everything would come out garbled. I knew that saying something, anything, would reassure my dad and that that was what I needed to do. But I couldn't form the words. "No, I'm not okay," I thought. My dad stared at me, searching for any signs of the fighter he knew his daughter could be. He touched my head, pushed some hair off of my forehead like he had when I was a kid with a fever. But I was no longer a little girl. I was a 28-year-old woman, and I had just been told that I had a cyst on my brain. "Confianza en Dios," Dad said quietly. But with some force, "Trust God." My eyes, empty, lost, sad, looked back at him. It was the blank stare of a defeated woman who had totally, completely, unapologetically given up. It had been a long, scary haul with this most recent issue. Out of nowhere, I'd been having balance problems. I teetered and tripped and had to grab onto anything near me to stay upright. My speech was off. It was worse when I first woke up in the morning, but even later in the day, I would stutter or slur my words. It was obvious there was something very wrong with me, and my dad had taken charge. He first took me to a hospital in Las Vegas, where I was given a prescription for Valium to treat what they thought was anxiety. Then, we saw other Vegas doctors, who basically attributed any problems I was having to my weight. My blood pressure was extremely high, and I was close to having a stroke. I felt helpless, but my dad was undaunted. After some more research, he found a doctor in Mexico, and off we went again. That is my father, totally action-oriented. Whatever's happening, he's going to deal with it head-on. In his view, this was no time for emotion. We had to get answers. Whatever it took, wherever he had to drive me, he was going to handle this. I was so grateful knowing that my mom was looking after my kids, so at least that worry was covered. There isn't much I remember about this time in the hospital, except that I was terrified that I was going to die. I was convinced that my supportive parents would lose their oldest daughter and my three beautiful children were going to grow up without a mother. What was going to happen to them? I couldn't help but feel angry at their fathers. They were off leading their lives, doing what they wanted. Why was I here sick? And what about my dreams? Were they finished? And yet, as I gazed back at my dad, feeling nauseating dizziness from my head to my toes, feeling like I was going to die, in the back of my mind, another thought was creeping in. I have to change. This was something that I suddenly knew in every cell of my being. If I wanted to get out of this alive, I was going to have to change my ways, do something different. Otherwise, I was always going to get the same result. I thought about my fat ass, my hips, my thighs, all the extra weight that had been hanging off of my body, as well as my psyche, for most of my life. My caderas y nalgas, the part of me that suddenly appeared when I was in elementary school and kept me from wearing short shorts like the other girls. From fifth grade on, I was known as the girl with the fat ass, and other kids called me a variety of mean and hurtful names, most of which featured my ass. I have always had issues with food. My behavior gave new meaning to the term emotional eater. Even when I was a child, food became something I turned to under just about any circumstance. When I was happy, I wanted to sit down with somebody I cared about, share my joy, and have something to eat. When I was sad, I moved toward the refrigerator hoping to drown my sorrows in something yummy. I would start the day with tortillas still warm from the oven and slathered with fresh butter. Didn't everything seem better when I was eating rice pudding? Lots of it. When I needed comfort, what was more satisfying than some huevos rancheros with rice and beans and a few more tortillas on the side? I loved beans, all kinds. Black, red, refried, they're all basically Mexican caviar to me. If I needed more spice in my life, I added some salsa roja and just chowed down. When I wanted to talk to someone, I always found it easier to communicate if I was enjoying café de olla with a few galletas or even beautiful piece of pan dulce.